Good morning and welcome to Inside the Huddle. Sam Wirt, Kyle Etherington here in the studio. We've got a good show planned for today. A rough showing last night for some of the area football teams. It was really a great game between Clinton Prairie and Sheridan. The fourth quarter didn't turn out how Clinton Prairie wanted it to. Sheridan ended up winning that game 48-20. And then Pioneer showed up and played a really good football game and took down Carroll 48-7. But we'll get to that in the back half of the show. At the front half of the show, we want to start by talking about some local runners that are going to be competing in the state finals today. And we've got Jenny Dunn and Josiah Johnson on the line from Clinton Central Cross Country, as Spencer Dunn is headed to the state finals to race in just a few hours. They get the girls kick off at 12, and the boys will start their race at 2:30. How are you guys doing today?
Great. How are you doing?
Pretty good, pretty good. So what is it like over there in Terre Haute as you guys get ready for the state finals run?
Well, it looks like a beautiful day. It's sunny and cool. It's not raining, and it's not frigid. So we have good running weather is what that is.
Yeah, absolutely. Not as cold as it was last night out in Flora. Me and Kyle were sitting out in the stands, and I'm still haven't recovered from that one. But it is nice.
I hope you drank a lot of hot chocolate.
Exactly. It is nice to run a little bit later in the day as we get later into the season, where it does warm up a little bit. Because usually you guys are used to running your meets pretty early, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock. So is this a different way to kind of attack this and prepare for this? You wake up and instead of just warming up and then start running, you kind of have to wait around for a little bit all day. Talk about the mindset that runners have when they have to wait a little bit to start their race.
Yeah, it's a little bit different in a lot of perspectives, I guess. When we have those early day meets, we really try to encourage the runners to run a little bit more even before the meet. When we go to practice at the end of the day or have a meet at the end of the day, they've walked around all day and their muscles are, you know, a little bit looser. You know how it feels when you first wake up and get out of bed. Mm-hmm. So on those Saturday meets, when it's when we're running earlier in the day, then we do encourage them to do more stretching and a little bit more running to get ready. So this is a little bit different to run at 2:30 in the afternoon. The weather's, of course, a little bit warmer. We have more time to stretch. We also have more time to get nervous. So just, you know, trying to keep Spencer in particular, I guess I can't speak for the other two runners from Clinton County, but just try to keep him relaxed and, you know, thinking about the race a little bit, but more just kind of staying relaxed. Food is also kind of important because, you know, we get up in the morning and eat something light for breakfast and then go run. So, you know, thinking about what you're going to eat to make sure you have energy, but you're not too full is an important consideration as well.
100%. So talk about, we'll send this to Josiah. Talk about Spencer's run last week in regionals and kind of how you've coached him throughout this week as he gets ready for the state finals run.
Yeah, so last week it was pretty intense. It was quite the roller coaster of emotions. Spencer had to be nearly flawless to his capabilities last week. He ended up being the last one to get in out of that regional. We psyched ourselves out, and they didn't announce him in the first initial as making it through. But to Jenny's wise thinking, she questioned it because we all thought he made it, and then not getting announced, we were all a little taken aback. So to argue that and to discover that they had just made a mistake and that he had made it through was pretty emotional. His run, like I said, it was flawless to his performance. He gave it his everything. He mentioned he had never felt like he wasn't able to walk or like he had to go down after a meet. He gave it his everything on Saturday. So this week has been a lot of rest for the most part. We've kept his mileage at a moderate amount and allowed him to kind of hone in with how he's feeling, and making sure he gives us feedback, and just making sure he's sticking. He sticks to a very strict plan, Jenny can attest to that. He definitely is a very he's an athlete. He's exactly what you think of an athlete. Very, very strict to his diet. Very strict to his recovery. So hopefully we've done enough this week to set him in a place to perform at his best again today.
And Coach, you were talking about being strict with the diet and being strict with the rest. How strict are we getting? Are we talking about a lock on the refrigerator door? Are we talking about no Halloween candy? Kind of talk about that, because I was intrigued about the difference between the type of breakfast you eat and then when you have a morning run versus the type of meals that you're going to eat for a competition today. So kind of talk about that, just because I think people just see the competition. They don't see all of the work that goes into it, especially with diet, especially when it comes to teenagers, because we all know teenagers have a tendency to pick the healthy option, if you might say.
So I might take this one since I feed him. So Spencer made a decision on his own to really cut back on the sweets and soda, and ice cream is probably his favorite food group. But I don't think he's had ice cream since the season started, so he's looking forward to that. But yeah, it is that. It's being very disciplined with what you eat. Lots of protein to help with muscle recovery, carbohydrates for energy. You have to get some fats in there. It's just a very balanced meal. It's what we probably should all eat, not just athletes, to be honest. But before a meet, then of course you want something that gives you energy long term. So Spencer eats a lot of oatmeal before he runs. Gives him some energy, but also it's long term energy. It's sustained energy. So, it's a healthy, balanced diet. And he did tell me that on Thursday before, of course, it was Halloween, so they came through the halls with lots of candy, and he had a little candy on Halloween. So it's not terrible.
So you're saying that ice cream is definitely going to be the order of business in Terre Haute after the run is accomplished, and what is the flavor of choice that he's planning on going with?
Oh, chocolate all the way.
Chocolate all the way. Okay. I got to go with Mackinac Island fudge, but that's just me.
Okay.
you guys said that he had basically no legs left and everything like that. How do you aid in the recovery of that? He left it all out on the field, which I think is fantastic, but ultimately you've got a young man there with no legs. How do you replenish that energy? Do you go with something similar, or do you go with something different? Just to get that good stuff back in the body, just because he's exerted so much energy?
Similar. I mean, we want the protein, of course, to help build up his muscles and the carbohydrates for energy. So, generally just kind of the same menu. We wrote out a menu for the week before sectionals, and we've kind of repeated that for a couple weeks. So,
well, Coach, I know all the players or all the runners are kind of thinking about the time that they want to hit today. So what is Spencer's personal record so far this year, and what time are you guys kind of shooting for today?
His best time was actually at regionals there, 16:09, and his goal for today is the goal for the season was to make state, and the goal for today, since we've achieved that goal, is to break 16. So 15:50 is the goal.
And how can we follow along with his progress? Do we check social media? I know IHSAA TV has got a feed set up. Are they going to be having drones that follow the run? Kind of talk about that. How can we follow along his progress on that?
I think they'll have drones out there. I'm not really sure. I know that. Like you said, the IHSAA has a TV. You have to pay something, $15, I think, to watch the race. They'll, of course, post the results. I imagine it'll be pretty quick. All the runners have chips that they run with, so they know pretty quickly what the results are. But certainly by 3 o'clock, we would probably know the results. And, of course, I would anticipate that Clinton Central will put something up on social media.
That's great. And with his chip, is there a certain website that we can go to follow him along and everything? This is just for people who might be interested in seeing if he gets that time and seeing, you know, how well he goes the distance, so to speak.
Right. I don't think so. Not that I know of. I know sometimes on marathon runners you can do that, but I don't think that they do that for the state meet for the kids.
Yeah, and we will post the results on Clinton County Daily News as soon as we get them. So if you can't find it on the IHSA.com, we'll post the results after the race on Clinton County Daily News as soon as we can. I wanted to, before we wrap up, wanted to talk a little bit more about the team in the last couple of races. We talked to you guys a few weeks ago ahead of the sectional race. So talk about the team as a whole, starting with the sectional race, and you had several runners move on to regionals. So talk about the team as a whole, kind of.
Yeah, I can go ahead and take this one, Jay. So leading into sectionals, we had a really good prep week. Everybody was pretty psyched up. We thought we had a pretty good chance to make it out as a full boys team, and then hopefully get a few of the girls through also. And we knew that for the boys to make it as a team, we had to perform at our highest level, which we pretty much did for the most part. We had a few bumps, ended up with two regional qualifiers for the boys, and Isaiah and Spencer. Isaiah actually performed outrageously well at regionals. He gave a 10-second PR to his season PR. Then obviously we had Spencer at regionals giving his best. So sectional was emotional for us. I felt like I had, as a coach, had promised them like all the rewards and stuff we're making as a team. We're going to go to regionals as a team and everything. So to come up a little bit short was very emotional, but you know, things happen and things don't go always as they plan. But we have a great team. They're amazing. They support each other really well. So this last week of training for regionals, a lot of kids would show up and show their support and, sometimes run practice after the season was done for them, which is amazing. It's crazy. So, I wouldn't do it any other way. I mean, I've said I want my boys team to make it through as a team, but it was an amazing season and a great end for the kids.
And we've talked about it a little bit, but Clinton County has three local runners there at the state competition. Spencer Dunn, obviously, and then Hayden Kempel from Clinton Prairie and Christopher Angeles from Frankfort. What does that kind of mean to you? Obviously, you're not a coach of those guys, but what does it mean for you guys that Clinton County is really improving in their cross country, and we have three local runners at the state finals?
I think it's awesome. I think it's awesome.
Yeah,
that it just shows a lot of obviously discipline on their part too. But you know, I think that when you live in Clinton County, you look at Hamilton County, all the big schools. You look at Marion County, all the big schools. And sometimes I think we feel like we're not big enough to compete there, but we are. And I think that's one of the things that it says. Josiah, you can chime in here.
Yeah. So those. I know we sent Hayden and Chris, they're both graduating this year, sadly, but everybody looks at them as like icons and like almost unattainable speeds. But I mean, realistically, if one were to go out and put in a similar amount of effort and to be willing to push themselves past their limits, they've given that mentality that like we can do it. You just gotta stick to the plan and really push yourself. It's a mentality. You have to be willing to give your everything. So they've really built just a statute of like what we need to do to achieve those levels and be competitive with bigger schools in the area.
100%. So I wanted to just say congratulations to all three of those runners on their great seasons and making it to the state finals, because that's an achievement in itself, and good luck to all of them today. Final question for you guys. How are you kind of coaching up Spencer today? Obviously, it's the last race of the year, so you want him to kind of just put it all on the course today. So what are you kind of talking with Spencer about ahead of this race?
Well, we got here yesterday, and so he could practice on the course because he's not ever run on this course before. So that was the first thing, is just to get him to have a good look at the course and think about, you know, his race on the course, where he's going to accelerate, where he, how he takes off, what does the start look like, all of those kinds of things, and then, of course, be keeping him relaxed. When you look at the state, if you take all the regional results and kind of rank them all, Hayden had the fifth fastest time, and Chris had the ninth fastest time. Spencer had the 103rd fastest time. So he is not as concerned about winning, about, you know, getting an award. This is an experience for him. So that's what we want him to do, is really take this all in and just perform the best that he can.
Absolutely. Well, good luck to Spencer, and good luck to Hayden Kempel and Christopher Angeles as well from Clinton Prairie and Frankfort. This has been Jenny Dunn and Josiah Johnson from Clinton Central Cross Country. I want to thank you guys for coming on and talking with us ahead of the state finals run.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Stay tuned in. We got the second quarter coming up next here on Inside the Huddle.
Whoever said size doesn't matter hasn't been to Winski Brothers. Hi, this is Jim Byers from Winski Brothers, inviting you to check out our new 70-foot truck scale. That's right, 70 feet. It's practically a landmark, making it easier than ever for you to get in, get out, and be on your way. Why? Because customer service isn't just words. It's 70 feet of promise. Check it out for yourself at 751 West Washington Street in Frankfort, or visit WinskiBrothers.com. Winski Brothers, because size definitely matters.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. I came out in the 11th grade. Nobody was embracing you. Kids were cruel. It was very difficult to be gay. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
The hard part was determining that I was going to do it, but I definitely didn't do it alone.
At age 30, with the help of her mentor, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
I have a mentor, Maria. She convinced me to continue my education and to finish what I started to get my diploma. Just never judges. She's a true role model. If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, go get it. You can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Hey, y'all, I'm Blake Shelton. Being from Oklahoma, I know a thing or two about natural disasters. Tornadoes are common where I'm from and have affected my life and the lives of people I care about. No matter where you live, be aware of the dangers in your area and have a plan. You can create an emergency kit, come up with an evacuation plan, and know where to seek shelter. You never know when a disaster may hit. These simple steps can help save a life. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Air Force.
Back now on Inside the Huddle. Sam Wirt, Kyle Etherington here in the studio. And we're going to just recap some of the local games from last night. Lebanon got the win over Logansport 35-28. Lafayette Central Catholic took down Western Boone 28-20. That game was pretty close throughout, and Western Boone able to make a little bit of a run in that second half, but couldn't finish that game. Taylor took down Tri-County 32-6, and how about Taylor? We saw some of the struggles they had in the regular season, but they had a couple of really big wins, and they were able to take down Tri-County last night to move to the sectional championship. What are your thoughts on their performance?
Great day to be a Titan. I've just got to go with that old Tony Gabriel quote, great day to be alive, as it's a staple of that high school. And for Taylor to have started the way that they did early in the season, and then it just seemed like every single week or two, it just seemed as if we were always talking about Taylor's, the win that they got over Sheridan, and then last night. And we've been talking between ourselves, Sam and myself, that would be one team that I would not want to play going into tournament play. So hats off to the Taylor Titans, and they've got a lot to be proud of today.
And speaking of Sheridan, Sheridan got the win over Clinton Prairie 48-20 last night, and that game was a lot closer than that score sounds. It was a one-point ball game at one point. It was one score going into the fourth quarter, and Clinton Prairie just unable to get it done in that fourth quarter. But we want to shout out to Cindy Lovelace, who was there last night providing updates throughout our broadcast from Clinton Prairie. She did a great job last night, so we want to give a shout out to her and all the sponsors for both games last night. We are going to get head coach Blake Betzner on the line from Carroll, as the Pioneer Panthers took down Carroll 48-7 last night. Coach, how are you doing today?
Good. How are you guys?
Not too bad. Coach, we saw after the game you kind of get together with a big group of your seniors. What was the message after the game to that group of guys, and what were you guys kind of talking about?
Well, we do it every year. After the season, so before the season, we walk the field, and we just have some really hard, good conversations. And then after the season, we do the same thing. And our whole job as high school football coaches and as leaders of youth is build better men. And, you know, I take a lot of pride in, you know, this is my first class I've ever had here. They were freshmen when we came in, and they're seniors, obviously, now. And to see those young men grow and change how they have, I'm just really proud of them. But we talk about it all the time. You know, they've had so much success. Everything's went right most of the time for those guys, and they just got hit in the mouth. And it's just like life. You think things are going really well in life, and then something happens, and how do you deal with it? You know, at halftime, the score is kind of out of hand at halftime, and I said, you know, that's going to happen in life. I want you guys to finish the game as young men that you could be proud of. You know, do the right things all the way till the end. And I'm really proud of them. You know, what they're capable, what they accomplished in their careers, but also getting hit in the face and becoming better men and just saying, I'm going to keep doing things the right way. I'm not going to point fingers. I'm not going to yell at my teammates. I'm not going to show frustration. I'm just going to line back up, do my job every single time. And I think that was the fun part of the second half for me. Obviously, the score wasn't, but just seeing our young men, you know, doing the right things all the time. So, you know, it was good conversations, and man, I'm going to miss them. And they've done so much for Carroll football, but I told the juniors, it's your turn now. You know, you got to keep things going the right way and see what happens.
And coach, the success of this class, unrivaled, at least in the last 20 years, as far back as we could go, 42 wins, two conference titles, and three sectional titles. I mean, you can't ask for a better career if you're starting out as a freshman and being told that. I'm jealous myself, and I didn't even play football. That's a pretty nice little resume right there. What exactly have these guys meant to, not just to the program, but also to the youth program? Because those are the heroes. Those are the titans of the program for the young kids. What have they meant to those young kids who are little Carroll Cougar football players?
Yeah, you know, and you can just see it growing. Our middle school teams, you know, have had a lot of success. They had, I believe they both had winning seasons this year. Our fifth, sixth grade team won the Cass County League. But they are, you know, we all practice right there together. We have a little strip of grass that we all practice together, and you know, we spend the junior high comes down and one day a week they watch our drill work, and they're beside us doing their drill work with our drill work. So they're getting varsity, you know, guys watching them and doing as they do their drills. And when the little kids are practicing after our practice, they start a little bit later. All the guys go through the lines and just, you know, shake hands with them and talk to them. And it's just been it's been so fun to watch it grow over the last few years. And it's all leadership, because you can only tell kids to do things right so many times. You know, it's like having your own kids. You know, you can only tell them what to do. You can't make them do it. And our young men have just always took a lot of time in our youth and, you know, making those kids feel special. And that's why, you know, we had 17 seniors or 17 freshmen this year. And, you know, all of them loved it. And that's what I always tell our seniors. If a freshman thinks you're a jerk, you didn't do your job. You know, you hurt the program. You didn't help it. Those guys should look up to you. They should think the world of you. And if they don't, you weren't the kind of guy that's a Carroll football guy. You know, you're not building the program. So all of our seniors loved on our freshmen, and you know, that's why we have 17 of them. And you know, that's the goal going forward, is just, you know, creating that family atmosphere. When things go wrong, it goes wrong. Like, that's life. You know, it wouldn't be any fun if, you know, nothing ever hit you in the face and changed yet. So, I'm just, again, proud of the guys, done a lot of good things, and it was just a roadblock we didn't deal with very well last night.
And going forward, your seniors talking about leadership, first question is, are there any potential football coaches in that senior class? And if so, would you hire them? And if not, why? And no, those are not too serious questions. But is there a potential football coach in there? And would they be best suited for like a coordinator position, head coach? Kind of talk about that, because that's kind of the next step for a senior after they have kind of hung up the pads for the last time.
Yeah, absolutely. Probably the most proud thing I've done, you know, we've done with the program is we've hired great men. When I got here, again, the first thing I asked Coach Hendricks, he was coached at Winnemac when I first got here, and I said, give me a list of names that are just great men. I don't care how much they know about football, and I just want them to be around our guys all the time to show them good examples. And he gave me a list of those guys, and we put together a group that, you know, the best staff I've ever, you know, can imagine. Just great men, always around, doing so, no pride. That's the fun part about our coaching staff. There's not one person that has any pride. We just do what we do. We don't worry about stepping on each other's toes. We just coach and have fun. With that, we have two seniors that their dads both coach with us, and that's Coy Lytle and Owen Zinn. Alan and Billy were the coaches with us, and man, they do a great job, and I can see both of them getting into it sometime. They're local guys. They're going to be around forever. Hopefully they have about 10 boys each that help with the program still. But yeah, there's a lot of those guys that I would, you know, love to have back and be part of the program. Last season we always allow seniors or whoever wants to come down on the field games, and I looked around. We had a bunch of old players just standing on the field, and it's just, you know, it's fun to look around and see what's happening at Carroll and what's been done. And it's, but yeah, we have a lot of guys that can coach. We have we have some players that coach now. they want to coach now, but no, they're just really good kids.
Well, let's talk just a little bit about last night's game and a great performance by Pioneer quarterback Micah Ranz, ran for 300 yards and 5 touchdowns. What did you guys see on film that you kind of wanted to stop going into this game, and then what kind of changed throughout the course of the game?
Yeah, he's good. He's fast. He's a lot better than, you know, not better than I thought he was, but just quicker than I thought he was. We just couldn't deal with him very well. We had guys there. I went back and watched part of the film last night. We weren't out of place. He's just a different athlete than what we've faced so far this year. So he made some plays that he's just a really good player, and we just didn't deal with him very well. You know, a couple of the plays, we knew the play was coming, and still didn't deal with it very well. So hats off to them. They did a lot of really, really good things. And but then, you know, it was a perfect storm, kind of like last week with us. We thought, okay, we can get up on Frontier. We can start making them do things they don't want to do. That's kind of what happened with us. They got up on us a little bit, so our run game kind of disappeared, and we started throwing the ball around a lot, and, you know, got a lot of three and outs and didn't complete a lot of passes so early, and we had 2 turnovers in the first half. So it was just like a perfect storm of, like, getting us out of kind of our game, and then we couldn't deal with their running attack, and it all kind of snowballed there in the first half, and you look up, and it's like 35-7, and it's like, oh, my gosh. We haven't been on this end very many times, but I don't know that we saw anything on film we didn't understand. We just didn't execute really, really well, and tried to change some things at halftime, and thought we played a little bit better in the second half with some things, but by that point it was pretty much over.
Well, you guys kicked off to start the game, and on the first play of the game, a really nice play by Brody yep. Ray to yep. get the interception. And we came in not really expecting Pioneer to really throw the ball a lot, and they didn't, except on that first play, and it got intercepted, and then they moved to the run game. But then you guys weren't able to get anything going really offensively on that first yep. drive, and then the very next play, Rance took it in for his first touchdown. What was the energy like on the sideline right after the interception, and then right after the Rams touchdown?
Well, yeah, I was kind of surprised they started off the pass, but yeah, getting that and, you know, pretty excited. Hey, we can go in and punch it in, get ahead here. Didn't work out, but then after the first score, I mean, I didn't really faze any of us. I mean, we've had those situations happen in the past. I think we just kind of looked around. All right, let's get back to offense and do what we do. And then we had some, you know, just struggles moving the ball offensively, and they got it back and scored it again right away. And you looked around, this is not a normal position for us. And I think the kids understood that, but I thought they stayed pretty calm and composed until it got 28-0. And then you're just like, oh man, we're trying to change things. We're trying to do some things differently than what we've had done before. And this didn't seem like anything was working.
And coach, one thing in particular that I was impressed with, is the composure before the game for a lot of the players, just because Carroll had a crowd, and when we say they had a crowd, they were selling tickets on the track. Kind of talk about the fan support last night, because they stayed with it all the way to the end, which was very impressive, at least from my eyes.
Oh, it's been awesome. I mean, what a wonderful community we live in. I couldn't be more happy with the community. They support those kids. They would support those kids any time, anything they do. Carroll's got such a good backing. So to see the community come out and support, you know, that we've had, is it's just been really, really something to watch. And I tell the kids all the time, just go out and enjoy it. I mean, take time at halftime, look around, see things, because there's very few times in your life where people, you know, a couple thousand people don't come watch you do anything. So just enjoy it and understand, This is not a time that's going to last forever. So go out and enjoy just being in the moment and being with your friends and your family and just the small community that we have. It's been a blast. It's been so surreal. Just the school corporation, the community, the kids. I mean, it's been some of the best 4 years, you know, I've coached for sure.
And outside of us freezing a little bit, which is probably the reason why we had so much static on the radio broadcast, we got to sit with the fans, and we got to meet some people very special to you, your family, last night. Came right up, introduced themselves. Talk about how they're doing, because I can always remember seeing my mother struggle with every timeout, struggle with every coaching decision, late night film. Kind of talk about that relationship that you have with your family, because as you said, it is a family affair.
Oh yeah. Yeah, my wife's amazing. She's the rock. You know, she keeps everything together. She's a single mom for about, you know, from August to, you know, usually whenever we end. So she takes care of everything. Friday nights I stay up till 2-3 o'clock in the morning watching film, and Saturday all day, and Sunday most of the day. So yeah, that's been a thing. If your spouse is not all in, it's really hard to be a head football coach in today's world with how things are with technology and be able to get games and everything's at your fingertips that you can watch all the time. So you're probably doing it. So, and then my son, he's now come to football games. He hasn't came to a lot of them, but now he's coming to football games, and he's loving every second of it. And I'm so happy he's part of the football program. My daughter's a water girl out there, and she asked me, like, you know, she's fifth grader, but she still doesn't really get it. She asked me last night, like, Dad, what film are you watching tonight? Because she stays up with me and watches film until she falls asleep on the couch, and I said, none. You know, it's done. You know, that was a hard thing for her to understand, is, hey, there's no next week. And so, yeah, it's a family event. It's been great for our family, but I'm just so thankful for the support they give, you know, me and my time away and my time to be able to be with the other kids and, you know, the time we take out to do that. So, yeah, my wife's a pretty special woman to me and does so many things that behind the scenes that no one understands. And then she's got to hear all the stuff. So that's another part about being a coach's wife. you know, when it's good, it's good, but when it's bad, it's bad. So to be able to handle that is a rare breed of people that can handle hearing things like that. So I just really appreciate her.
Well, Coach, when you get to the playoffs, it's one game at a time, and it's win or go home. And you said it, there is no next week. So how do you kind of wrap things up? Obviously, feel the loss last night, but going into this week, are there team wrap up meetings, and how do you kind of wrap things up and go from here, and all state nominations and all that good stuff?
Yeah, it just starts, you know, all that stuff just continues going with the seniors, but. We'll start talking X interviews with the young kids, and we'll tell them what their goals are for next year, and we'll tell them get going on them. You know, get back to work. When I knew we were going to be pretty special, we lost to Adams Central 3 years, so it'd be 3 years ago, and I got a call at the community center to their 35-year boys in here lifting weights on Saturday morning. So, I mean, that's just the kind of kids they are. So they want to get back at it. You know, when you have a bad taste in your mouth, you're ready to put it in a good off season and change everything about what happened last night. So just get another opportunity. But yeah, all that stuff starts. It's a fun time for the seniors. Get some awards, hopefully, and you know, do the banquet and wish them luck in their next whatever, if they're playing basketball or wrestling or swimming, whatever they do. But yeah, it just keeps going here for the next few months.
And Coach, talk about we don't have much time, but kind of highlight some of the key players for you guys this season, and some players that might be winning a few awards for you guys at the banquet, and some of the seniors. Just highlight a few of the players as we can.
Yeah. So I talked about the seniors quite a bit last year. I like to talk about some of the underclassmen that are coming back. We got a good core of underclassmen that are going to be huge coming back. Kale Peters will be coming back as our quarterback next year, and he's a sophomore this year. He's got a lot of tools. He's going to be a really special player for us. So he'll probably be playing quarterback. And then you got Aiden Wiles and Emery Deaton, both running backs and linebacker type kids that'll be coming back for us. Wiles is our starting fullback. We got both our defensive tackles are coming back next year. Two big kids, Dominic Renew and Handy. And then we've got two offensive linemen, Tinsman and Ayers, are both coming back. I could see a couple of those kids will be junior all-state kids, I'm hoping. And then we start a couple sophomores too. So we got a great nucleus coming back, and I'm really excited about that group coming back. And you know, with the senior guys, I'm hoping to get a couple guys on all-state. We had two junior all-state kids last year, Coy Lytle and Levi Watkins, and I'm hoping they have that opportunity to be a senior all-state kid. But just they've had a lot of success, and they've had a lot of good things go for them. So I'm just really proud of what they've put together.
Well, we want to thank you for all the work you guys have put in this season, and for coming on the show all season. And congratulations on a great season. Obviously, didn't end the way you guys wanted, but still a fantastic year for the Carroll Cougars. And want to say thank you once again for coming on Inside the Huddle.
Yeah, thank you guys for your coverage. I appreciate it.
Well, we'll be back with quarter number three of Inside the Huddle in just a moment.